Let's see what happens. So today's title is Time to Take Time. Take time to take time. Time. We all get the same amount of it, right? 24 hours in a day. Yet we all seem to fall short of it. Time waits for no one, right? The bad news is that time flies. Is this going to advance for me? The bad news is that time flies. The good news is you're the pilot. You get to decide how you're going to use your time. So for the most part, For the most part, we get to decide what we do with our time, right? Over the course of our lives, there are moments we wish would pass quickly, and there are moments that we wish would just stay and linger, right? We often struggle to take the time, to take our time. Did you ever say, oh, I messed it up because I rushed? Oh, I shouldn't have done it that quickly. I was trying to get it done quick, and now I made a mess, right? Do you ever do that with painting? You're trying to paint, and then suddenly you're dripping all over the place, you know, and that happens. And I think we tend to not want to take our time when it comes to relationships because life is so rushed. It's so hurried. It's so busy. We all say probably at least once a week that we're busy. We just got a lot going on. We've all got the want-tos and the should-dos, and many people never get to those things that they want to do, that bucket list. Last week, Cliff talked about what Jesus loves and hates about the church, right? And he said that Jesus hates when the church becomes about religion rather than relationship. He said when the what becomes more important than the why, and I'm going to add when the do for becomes more important than the who for. Like, I'm doing all of this stuff for God, but I forget I'm doing it for God. I'm going to honor him with everything I do, right? Doing my work heartily is unto the Lord. Did you ever find yourself saying to someone, after all that I do for you, after all I've done for you, and you treat me like that, right? So why do we do the things that we do for the people that we love? To earn their approval? What's our motivation? Why do we do the things that we do? Or is it because we love them? Is it for nothing in return? Even if I don't get a thank you, I'm doing this because I love you, because I love God. When we base our value on what we've done for God, rather than on what he's done for us, we will fall short 100% of the time. Every single time we will fall short, we'll come up empty. We will struggle to be close to God because we'll feel like he's critiquing us on every single thing that we do. How much we've accomplished today. Oh, God must be really proud of me today. I got a lot done. I got 10 things done on my list of 11. Oh, this isn't such a great day. I only got 2 of those things done, right? We kind of critique ourselves each day based on what we've done and how good we were. We were made for intimacy with God. And that's what today's message is on. We were made for intimacy with God. God longs for us to be close to him and to have intimate relationships with other people. I want you to say other people. I hear this word now that says, I can't go in there, it's too people-y, right? Too many people. And I get that, but why is that? Because we've gotten used to isolation. We've gotten used to just going life alone, being by ourselves, right? A world of social media, right? Friends, thousands of friends that we've never met before in our lives, right? Today's not about social media, but we can bring it in, right? So we were designed to be intimate, not distant. The opposite of intimacy is distance. In the beginning, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit said, let's make man in our image. And when God made man and woman, he said it was good, right? It was his plan to walk alongside us for our whole lives. He wanted to make man so he could walk with us and talk with us and have a relationship. And because of sin and disobedience to God's direction, Adam and Eve and all mankind had to be separated from God. There was a distance. There was a chasm. There was a door that they could not cross. Intimacy with God was no longer available, not even an option. So Adam and Eve actually had to leave the garden. They were chased out of the garden, right? Pushed out. They had to go from that place of paradise and abundant life. I cannot imagine the desert Not just where they walked, but in their heart. The shame, the regret, right? Until heaven's plan, Jesus himself, God in the flesh, the word of God, came to us. Amen? We have Jesus now. I'm having trouble with this advancing here. Ted? Amen, Ted? You got that. Yeah, he had trouble 2 weeks ago. Okay. Isaiah 9:6 says, this was written 700 years before Jesus was born. This was Isaiah the prophet. He said, read it with me. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. That baby, Jesus, indeed was born, and he grew into a physical man containing all the fullness and power and deity of God. He had it all. He was sent for a purpose, to reclaim intimacy with God. To destroy the works of the enemy. That is why Jesus came, to destroy the works of the enemy and to reclaim that intimacy with God. Now, if you've been walking with God, you know all this. But I think we know, but we forget. And God, I believe, wants us to recognize where we sometimes lose intimacy with him. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God sent a piece of himself and the fullness of himself when he sent Jesus. He loves you and me so much, and he desires that intimacy with us. He desires to be close to us, right? And he sent his son to pay the price of death for our sins so we wouldn't have to pay that price. Jesus died so that we would not have to live life without him. And we would not have to have eternal life without him. Jesus went to a place that you and I could not go. You and I could not go there. When he hung on the cross, he paved the way to the Father and said, it is finished. Right? The veil in the temple that had kept us from the very presence of God was torn down. You know, so there was a veil in the temple that was thick, like thick and big and huge. And when Jesus died on the cross, that veil just came right down. And we were allowed full access to the throne of grace, full access to God. You don't have to go through a pastor. You don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go through another person who's holier than you or better than you to get your prayer answered. You go to your knees, like Pastor Rick said. When you can't do it, you get to your knees and you say, God, I can't, but you can. We go to him. We can run boldly before the throne of grace where we will receive mercy and help in our time of need. So that veil was torn so we could have fellowship and relationship with God again. And religion is like a veil still covering the eyes of people that are caught up in religion and what they have to do. And they think, well, you know, if I just do this and this and this, and they're separating, distancing themselves from God instead of allowing Jesus to remove that veil so they can just run boldly before him. So religion is a veil covering the eyes and covering the heart. It's blocking the heart. In John 5, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the teachers and the Jews who didn't believe in him. They knew the scriptures. They knew what Moses had said. They knew the scriptures, but they didn't believe in Jesus. And in John 5, Jesus says to them, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. Intimacy with God is not just knowing of him or reading about him. Those are things that are part of it. But it's talking to him, listening for him, letting his word and the scriptures change our lives. They knew that this Messiah was coming, but they didn't see him. I love that Rick said, let us have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to receive, because I was like, whoa, that's in the message today. So, you know, God is so good. He's speaking something to his people. So Jesus challenged them. Intimacy with God is about listening to him, talking to him, yes, reading his word, because that's a lot of times where his truth will come, but you've got to do it with his Holy Spirit, with his presence with you. I can read a book about someone and get to know a lot about who they are, but they have no idea who I am. They don't know who I am. Did you ever walk up to somebody that you know, maybe somebody that wrote a book, or maybe like a celebrity, and you got to meet the celebrity and you know all about them because you read all about them on Instagram. You read all about them on their Twitter, you know, and you know everything about them. You know what color socks they have on today, and they have no clue who you are. And when we read the Bible, we get to know about Jesus, but you really get to connect with him when you have intimacy. So I can read a book all about someone, but that's not a relationship, right? Okay. I have to communicate because relationships require that communication. Intimacy is not found in listening to other people preach about him. Oh, well, I come to church and Pastor Rick gives a great message. Cliff gives a great message. Shen and Joe gave a great message. Shen gave a great message. I listened to this person. Did you hear that message by blah, blah, blah? Did you hear what they said? It was really awesome. It was really great. Okay. If someone else eats a steak, you don't get the nourishment from that steak. They can tell you all about it, right? It says, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I love watching my husband take his first bite of a meal that he's been anticipating. Right, guys? Right? A good steak or seafood. He sits down, he cuts it, and he kind of turns the fork this way, you know, that whole going in the mouth that way, right? He takes the first bite with eagerness. And this morning I accidentally typed eaterness. So that is my new word for Cliff. It's his eaterness, yeah. He takes the first bite with eagerness and hope that this is going to be the best meal ever. Right, Dave? Where's Dave? Best meal ever, right? He takes a little and he allows that bite to rest in his mouth, to touch every taste bud, and he just relishes in the flavor. This moment is usually followed by a still food in his mouth. Oh, my word. Right? Someone else can tell you all about how delicious the steak was, how the marinade was perfectly done, the seasoning brought out that smoky grilled deliciousness. Anybody's mouth watering? Mine is a little bit. How perfectly tender it was. So tender you could cut it with a butter knife. It melted in my mouth. It burst with flavor. Yes, I believe that steak was great, right? But I need to taste it. I need to see it for myself. So when someone else tells you all about our steak, or someone else tells you all about what they're learning about Jesus, that may give you the want to, but you need to get the need to so bad that I need to go get it myself. We have to take the time to go get our own steak because Cliff ain't sharing. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, come to me. He's saying, over here, come, I'm Jesus, I'm God in the flesh, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened. Everybody's reading their scriptures, and that's good. They should be. But they were reading them without understanding, without truly hearing and truly seeing. Wow, this guy that we know, and he came from people we know, matches this scripture. Wow. Right? So Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Not an egg yolk, but steak and eggs is pretty good, right? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When I tell my daughter, come to me, I love when my daughter says, she's 9, so this probably won't last forever, but she'll say, Mama, come snuggle me. I tell her the answer is always yes to that. It might be, give me a minute, let me finish this thought. But the answer is always yes. Mama, can I have a hug? Answer is always yes, right? When I tell her to come to me, I mean, come, sit on my lap. Let me put my arms around you. Rest your head on my chest. Go to sleep if you want to. Just be with me. Linger here with me. Stay. Everybody say linger. Linger. To linger is to stay in a place longer than necessary because of a reluctance to leave. Did you ever get yourself into a moment of praise and worship? You just want to linger. You're like, oh. I mean, I feel it now. Just the Holy Spirit's presence in this place. Proverbs 23, it says, This is verses 29 to 32 and 35. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long over wine. Those who go to taste or search out mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. When shall I awake? I will seek another drink. I will seek yet again. Now, this message is not about wine. But if you have woe, sorrow, contentions, complaining, ask yourself, what am I lingering over? What am I lingering over? So where do you spend your time? I mean, many of us, the phone, right? Going on Facebook. I mean, I don't have to tell you. I took Facebook off my phone. I took Messenger off my phone. So if you need to get in contact me, email me. If you have my phone number, you can call me. Text me, but I took Messenger because it kept pop, 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 right? And you get all, and then you get distracted. And it wasn't anybody's fault. It was just this distraction. Oh, Facebook, let me click on that. I'm not saying you have to do that. That was a Holy Spirit thing for me, and it's been wonderful. It's been very freeing. So, are you lingering long over your phone? Last week, I walked around the house with my flashlight on, my phone, looking for my phone. Where is that? Okay, I need a nap or a vacation, but we just got back. How about your money? How about your finances? Do you linger long over the budget? Oh, God, we don't have enough. Oh, how are we going to do this? I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul. You know, how am I going to take care of this money? Oh, my finance, oh, my investments, oh, my retirement. That ain't going to fix it, right? Getting to our God? This is my checkbook, but this is really your checkbook. I ask you, Lord, to provide. Show me how to steward well what you've given me, and I trust you in this time of famine. I trust you in this desert time. How about coffee? Like, this mug was actually from Wes. Running on coffee and Jesus. It's so warm, right? Get that coffee, that hot tea, that hot cocoa, kind of linger with it. It's comforting, right? How about the wine? You know, wine, too much of it. The Bible says don't get drunk with wine. But if you're thinking about getting a glass of wine all day long, ask the Lord to help you not even do it that night. Because if we'd rather run to a bottle, we'd rather run, oh, I need a cigarette. Oh, I need this. Oh, I need that. Why? You don't need it. You want it. And if you want something like that more than you want precious, intimate time with Jesus, who can fill every void, not just that void for 1 second, ask the Lord to help you. God, my flesh is craving that, but I'm saying no. I'm saying no this time. You know? Time. We have a ministry for that. That's right. Celebrate recovery. I keep bringing that up, right? It's good. So where are we taking our time? You know, are we shopping too much? You know, where's our focus? Where are we lingering? Is our time spent on things that nourish us or deplete us of energy? Lingering with Jesus will fill us. Stay. How many of you have trouble staying, sticking to this chair? I was going to bring a bottle of glue today, but I forgot. But, you know, I want you to pretend tomorrow morning, put some glue on your chair and sit down and get your Bible out and just, you're sticking there like glue for a while. You're not going to answer the phone. You're not going to run to the dryer. You're not going to go quick get up and do the dishes. I'm just telling you my life. But I'm like, stick like glue, Lord. Help me stick like glue. Lingering with Jesus will fill us. So Jesus set the example here. I love this. I love this part. Mark 1, 35 to 37. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. I'm picturing him stepping over the disciples, like, trying to get out without anyone knowing, right? And he went to a secluded place, and he was praying. He was the fullness of God, but yet he still went to the Father because he had a team to work with, right? And Simon and his companions searched for Jesus, and when they found him, he said, everyone's looking for you. Mom, I was looking all over for you. Dad, where were you? Oh, well, I was reading my Bible. Oh, but I need breakfast. Okay, you're 15 now. You can get breakfast, right? But we get into that. I mean, even Jesus, you know, hey, we were looking all over for you. Are you all right? Just praying. But as soon as Jesus, they came and found Jesus, Jesus told them where they were heading that day, where they were going to minister. So Jesus went to get direction from God in the morning. Where are we going today? Did you ever ask Jesus, what do you want to do with me today? Right? So before Jesus was arrested, again, he had an intimate talk with Father God. And you may have heard this, that he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was so distraught because he knew we had to go to the cross. He knew what he had to endure for us. He wanted to. His spirit wanted to, and he knew that was the plan. But man, the flesh, you know, was, God, if there's any other way, but not my will, but yours be done. Imagine that. He sweat drops of blood. He was that distressed, right? But he gave it to God. Jesus didn't have to come to earth for us. He came because he wanted to, because he loves you. We didn't deserve it, but he thought we were worth it. I want you to say, Jesus thinks I'm worth it. Jesus thinks I'm worth it. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Notice that it says God demonstrates his love, which is not past tense. Past tense would be demonstrated. Every day, God demonstrates to you in that Jesus died. And notice that died is past tense. We don't have to keep putting him on the cross. He was on the cross once and for all. He died and he rose again. Amen? And he lives. So he demonstrates to us every day. The cross is a huge part of the story of God's redemption plan, but it's only part of it. And that part is finished. He's not on the cross anymore. Once and for all, and was raised to life. Every day we can know that God demonstrates his love because he sent his son. His love endures forever. This is why we receive communion. Today we're going to be receiving communion and we're going to do a little time of worship, because what Jesus did for us then still works now. What happened in the past still works in the present and will continue to work. Jesus doesn't get old, right? His mercy is new every morning. So why did Jesus hate religion so much? Because it had nothing to do with why he came and for whom he came. Religion is a man-made set of rules, written or unwritten, that says that we have to do things in order to earn salvation and get to God. We can never, ever do enough, right? Even the psalmist said, Lord, how could I praise you half enough? You know, we can't get to Jesus on our own. Relationship is a God-orchestrated set of ways that he used to get to us, and he still uses to pursue our hearts. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. God's grace, your faith in him, childlike faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. We can't say, well, I did this and I did that for God, and that's how I got saved, right? No one can boast, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Just like we laid hands on Jess and Wes today. God prepared this good work for them before they were even born, before the foundation of the world. God had a plan. And God prepared us for good works, but the works don't get us salvation. Grace is free. Relationship with him is free. We have to choose it. When we say yes to God and make intimacy with God a part of our everyday lives, our lives will begin to change. Our minds will transform. We'll become more like Jesus. And he will use us to do good things for the kingdom of God so that he will be glorified. So why do so many people reject God's free gift? It's because we have a very real enemy who hates us, hates God, hates relationships, hates people. And Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. So if you ever get an accusing feeling in your mind, like a thought, it's like accusing you, that's Satan. He's trying to bring shame and the past back on you. You tell him to get away from you in Jesus' name, that no weapon formed against you will prosper in Jesus' name, and that he's a thief, and he comes to rob, steal, and destroy. But my Jesus came that I would have life abundant. You speak it back out to him. This life is about relationship, and that's how it all started, right? God wanted to walk with us. He gave Adam an opposite sex companion so that they could have intimacy and multiply and fill the earth. Relationship requires intimacy, and intimacy requires time. We have to take time to take time. We often say that Satan wants to steal our joy, which he does, but I believe that our joy comes from intimacy with God. Therefore, Satan wants to steal our intimate time with him, right? With distraction. God uses people to bring us joy, and Satan distorts that by causing strife and quarrels and misunderstandings and gossip and jealousy and to rob us of intimate time with other people. We say, well, if I just stay by myself, I'm fine. The Lord is jealous for you. He's zealous for you, as Cliff talked about last week. In Exodus, it says that his name is jealous. His name is jealous because he made us for his purpose. You're probably jealous for your child. You want your child to love you, right? Magnify that by, like, a lot. Eternity. God made you. He bought you with the price of his son. He wants intimacy with you. That's why he sent his son, because he wants to have an intimate relationship with you. Not just, I'm going to quick open my Bible and read a verse or two and shut it and walk away. He wants to commune with us. But we have to take the time. Don't stop just before God says something good. Religion is man's attempt to get the favor of God and to get to God. Relationship is intimate. Religion is distant. Relationship is close. Religion is, I can't ever be. God's not out there somewhere beyond the clouds. I remember one time I was sitting on my porch and I was like, Lord, I just love you so much. And I was looking up at the clouds and I can't say it was audible, but it almost was audible. I felt God say, why are you looking up there? I'm right here. You know, and it, I was like, you know, and it wasn't audible, but it was that, like, in my heart, loud in me. Why are we looking out there? He's here. He's here. If you haven't said yes to him, he's here wanting to have a relationship with you. So did the ushers pass out some candy? Did you all wait to eat that candy? Who ate your candy? Because you have to pray at dinner. Okay. If you do not have a piece of candy that you could give the people that already ate another one, the ushers are probably, if not, it's okay. Steal your neighbors. It's okay. I'm kidding. I know that you have not listened to a word I've said because you've been dying to eat your candy if it's been sitting there. Or you have not listened to a word I said because you've been savoring the flavor, right? Life is rushed. We often eat on the go. We call people on the go. We do quick meetings just to talk business stuff. And then we head to the next meeting and the next. And many of you live in a marriage like that where you kind of just live in the house together and you do business together and you just kind of share the bills and you don't really talk. We say quick prayers before dinner or memorize sayings before bedtime. We dizzy ourselves with millions of messages that we have to respond to. Checking our social media pages, emails, phone calls, checking off the to-do list. You get it. You get the life busyness, right? We long for quiet and oftentimes don't get it. We have the should-dos and the want-tos, yet there's no time left after the really didn't need-tos and the should have said no-tos. Think about it. Do we take the time to really taste and hear and see and savor? Do we eat? Or do we taste? Do we smell? Or do we savor? Do we look? Or do we see? Driving in the car the other day, and I looked up at the sky, and it was just gorgeous. And I said to my daughter, who was in the back seat looking at her tablet she was playing, and I said, honey, look at the sky. Oh, yeah. And she looked back down. You know? And I'm like, wow, God, you're magnificent, you know. And she does that too sometimes. She's like, Mom, look at this. I'm like, okay, honey. And I'm, you know, and I'm busy. We all have those moments in time, right? But do we notice the things of beauty that the Lord has made for us? Men, when's the last time you told your wife, you're beautiful? Just looked at her. Women, when's the last time you said to your husband, "You are handsome. I only desire you." Do we rejoice in the people around us and enjoy the moments with them, or do we dread being around people? Do we just want to get a job done and then complain about it? These are questions that we've really got to think about. Proverbs 3, 32b, it says, "The Lord is intimate with the upright." When we do what's right in God's sight, we spend time with him, we talk with him, he will be intimate with us. Proverbs 20, 24 says, "Man's steps are ordained by the Lord. How then can man understand his way?" God spoke this to me this morning. I said, "Lord, what's the main point?" By the way, I just wrote this message yesterday because God was speaking to me after Cliff gave his message last week about religion versus relationship. And I really started thinking about the relationship and the lingering with him. And so if any of these slides have misspellings, that's because I rushed. I didn't take the time to take the time. But Jesus said this to my heart this morning. "If you will make the time to take time with me, I will have you at the right place at the right time every time." Think about that. If you will make the time to take time with me, I will have you at the right place at the right time every time. One of my prayers almost every morning is, "Help me be a blessing to someone." Last month, Cliff and I went to Florida. He shared that with you last week. And there were thousands of people around us. Thousands of people from all different countries, all different languages we heard, all different, you know. And I was in line. My sister and I were in line to get food at a cafeteria-style buffet. And it was hurricane time, and everybody was it was busy. So there were tons and tons of people inside. And I was standing in line, and Alicia was next to me, and then a lady was next to her. And they were chatting, you know, a little bit. And what I ordered wasn't ready yet, so I had to wait instead of them just handing it to me and me walking away, right? Cafeteria style. So I waited. Alicia got hers. This lady moved up next to me. She had part of her meal, but not all of it, so I handed her a lid. And, of course, I started a conversation because I like to do that. I was like, "Hey, you know, here's a lid for you. And then where are you from?" And she's like, "Oh, Pennsylvania." And I said, "Oh, I'm from Pennsylvania, too." And she said, "Well, what part?" I said, "Well, like the Pocono area." And she's like, "Oh, yeah, I'm from Walnutport." And I said, I'm from Lehigh. I said, and she's like, "Oh, yeah, I know where that is." I'm like, "Yeah." And of course, I said, "Well, my husband and I, did you ever hear of Blue Mountain Community Church? You know, And she said, "No, I really haven't." And I said, "Well, my husband and I are pastors, and we're down here on vacation. My sister's with us." And I said, "You know, do you have a church?" And she's like, "I think this was meant to be because I'm looking for a new church." Yeah. And I had a card with my name on it to give her. But I took two cards with me just in case. You never know when you're on vacation when you might meet somebody. But God, only Jesus can orchestrate those moments. And you know, was that coincidence? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That was from God. And she even felt it. Wow. Now, I don't know if she came to church yet. But if she's online, hi. Her name's Cindy. So if you guys pray that Cindy can come, right? But just how God will have you at the right place at the right time when you trust him. You know, and it's funny because people will like try to fill the void with everything but Jesus. I love how, you know, Cliff told you we were at Disney World on that vacation. And I love this scripture says, "Their banquets are accompanied by lyre and harp, by tambourine and flute and by wine, but they do not pay attention to the deeds of the Lord, nor do they consider the work of his hands." You can go to the, quote, best place on earth, and it is not the best place on earth. Because I longed. Now, some of you might not be, you know, into that, but I mean, I was just wowed by everything I was seeing with my eyes. But nothing could fill the void that Jesus fills in my heart. You know, so you can invigorate all the senses, but you got to connect with him spiritually. I'd like the praise team to please start making your way up. So if we take the time for Jesus, he will have us at the right place at the right time. Just a friend of mine told me just yesterday that He had a moment where he had a big to-do list. Keep listening to me. Keep listening. Stay in the moment. Give me time, right? He had a moment where he was talking to his son, and his son was really opening up to him. And the father knew, I got to get out of here. I have stuff I got to get done. But the Lord said, sit and listen to your son. I want you to stay and listen. A couple hours went by. Finally, he, you know, had to break the conversation. You know, I really got to go. But the Holy Spirit spoke to him, stay. So I said, did you get everything done that you needed to do that day? He said, yeah. So, you know, I'm telling you, you put Jesus first, you'll get more done. You give God the first of all your produce, you give God the first of all your money, he will make sure that the rest of it goes further than if you had kept all of it. If you keep all of your time for yourself, you're going to be hurried and worried and scurried. But when you give God a portion, a percentage, did you know that coming to church on a Sunday morning for 1 to 2 hours is only 1% of your week? 1%. So let's give it to Jesus, right? Okay. Jess, would you play a little bit for me while I do this portion? So I want to ask you, just think about this. When is the last time? When is the last time you really listened to a song? Listened for the parts of the music being created? Listened to the words being sung? When is the last time you simply stood in awe to watch the sunrise, the sunset, the sky move? When is the last time you wondered at the Lord's creative ability and artistry to create masterpieces? The birds, the trees, the valleys, the mountains, the waters, and you. When is the last time you contemplated the depth of his magnificence, his majesty, the vastness of his being? When is the last time you had a deep, meaningful conversation with your child where you weren't simply offering correction, but listening for their heart? When is the last time you spent time doing something fun? When's the last time you had a heart-to-heart conversation with your spouse where the object wasn't to simply get what you wanted, but to understand their heart? When is the last time you made love to your spouse, truly enjoyed physical intimacy with them? When is the last time you told your friend, your child, your spouse, your parent, someone close to you, what they truly mean to you? When is the last time you said, I love you, Jesus, and lingered long enough for him to say it back to you? When is the last time you made time to take time? Psalm 34 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds toward the sons of men. Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell of what he has done for you. Will you create time to be intimate with God and others? Will you allow others the time to be intimate with you? Busyness and stress and worry and anxiety and trying to get what I need to get done is an epidemic, in my opinion. Jesus, he knew he was going to the cross, but he took time with his closest friends, and he sat with them, and he shared a meal with them. He washed their feet. He talked with them. He knew that one was going to betray him even. He did not invite him to the party. He still had him there to remind him, no matter what, I still love you. Jesus took the bread, he broke it, He said to them, "This is my body. This is my flesh, broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." He was giving them an illustration that every time they would taste bread, they would think about what Jesus was about to do. They didn't understand it in the moment. And then he took the cup, he took the wine, and he said, "This is the blood of a new covenant, a new promise. This is shed for the forgiveness of sins of the many." John 17 says, "For all who are far off," that's us, "take this bread, drink this cup. You proclaim my death until I return." So as you, we're going to do 2.5 songs. The first song, I want you to, I forgot to have you use your chocolate. Okay. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to have you come and receive communion. Okay. And as you receive communion, you're going to take a piece of bread, dip it in the juice. And I want you to go back and I want you to really savor this bread. Eat it. Thank Jesus for what he's done for you. Come close to him. If you want to, kneel. If you want to stand and raise your hands, you can. But just take this time with him. Because when you put something in your mouth, like that Hershey kiss that you're going to have after your communion, when you just let it melt, and you just let Jesus melt your heart, that's when you become changed. But we have to take time to take time.